Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good Sunday morning. Thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every time I come on these airways, introducing the show. And I thank you so much for doing that. And just appreciate us being able to share that message with people. You're listening to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. It's Sunday morning. And on Sunday mornings, we have the gospel of working from home. Topic this morning is how controlling your mind will help you win in business. How controlling your mind will help you win in business. Before I get into the topic, I want to, because we're going to be talking about certain things this day, that I want to open up with a reading from a book called The Hosea. The Hosea is sacred wisdom of ancient Egypt, or we say ancient Kemet. And Hosea stands for exceptional insight. Exceptional insight. This book was written by Dr. Marlana Karenga, where he took and went back and looked at the information of ancient Kemet and spirituality and how that's what governed the way that life was lived in ancient Egypt. So Hosea stands for authoritative utterance and exceptional insight to the moral and spiritual realm and their divine character in ancient Egyptian theology. Hosea appears as both compelling and proper as a title for texts of ancient Egypt's sacred writings. Okay, so we're going to read from the book of Tahotep. The first reading we have is, reading goes, if you are a leader and command many, strive for excellence in all that you do so that no fault can be found in your character. For my eye, the way of truth, justice, and righteousness is great. Its value is lasting, and it has remained unequal and unchanged since the time of its creator. It lies as a plain path before even the ignorant, and those who violate its laws are punished. Although wickedness may gain wealth, wrongdoing has never brought its wares to a safe port. In the end, it is my, the way of truth, justice, and righteousness that endures and enables the upright to say, it is the legacy of my father and mother. So again, remember, if you are a leader and if you're a business leader, that means, you know, you're going to command a lot of different things. And so that's important. Also, if you're a business leader, that means that you're going to have people that are involved in your life. We all have people that are involved in our lives. And I'm going to get into some of that content when I get into other things I want to share in terms of the show. And our second reading from the book of Tahotep says, share with your friends that which you have, for that which is yours is a gift of God. Those who fail to share with their friends are shunned for having a selfish soul. Although people might plan for tomorrow, they do not know what will come to pass, but it is righteousness by which people are sustained. Therefore, if misfortune comes and you have been righteous with your friends will welcome you. Peace will not be found in a city where friends are forgotten and their needs are not answered. If you have people that are friends and you're working on something together, it's important that you share with them openly and honestly what's going on, how you feel about things, and how, you know, things are impacting the things that y'all are going to be doing together. And that leads us to today's topic, which is mind, you know, controlling our minds.
And I'm going to read something from Dr. Henry Gregory called Mind Training 101. But before I get to that, I want to go to another book called Stolen Legacy. Greek philosophy is the stolen Egyptian philosophy, written by George G.M. James. He wrote this book, and then he mysteriously died. You know, mysteriously died. And why is that? Because he revealed that a lot of the books that are credited to Aristotle and Plato, they just took and copied the whole libraries out of Egypt and put their name on the book. So it's important that we know the real essence of philosophy. And it's so, so important. But in studying that, he also learned the secrets to what was called the Egyptian mystery schools. They were mystery schools for the Europeans because, you know, the according to history, they said that the Egyptians made the Greeks wait 500 years before they even allowed them to enter into their domain. So they were suspect to begin with. And then ultimately, you know, with Alexander, they called him Alexander the Great, but Alexander, I call him Alexander the Greek, because that's what he was. He destroyed ancient Kemet, took and renamed the libraries in a city called, that he ultimately named after himself, called Alexandria, and, you know, did us an injustice when it came to understanding who we are and the importance of that historical legacy. Well, when ancient students went to school, they had to learn certain things. The first thing they had to learn was how to control their thoughts, because thoughts are very powerful things, as Napoleon Hill says, especially when we understand what they can do. And once we recognize how to control our thoughts, and so that leads us to Dr. Henry Gregory's Mind Training 101. And he talks about mind. The mind can, one, rationalize, justify, or defend whatever one wants to. The mind is a trickster. Without proper discipline, it can drag one into all sorts of unhealthy, unpleasant, and unsafe circumstances. So he says, you know, your mind can play tricks on you. See, because your mind is influenced by your surroundings, your environment, and other things. But it's important to understand the power of the mind. And that's why it has to be disciplined. The undisciplined mind is easily manipulated, controlled. I'm back to reading Dr. Gregory's statement. Is easily manipulated, controlled, and programmed by external forces that may not have one's best interests at heart. Many minds in the contemporary world are overstimulated, yet undernourished, and therefore very vulnerable. So much stuff is going on. So much stuff is bombarding our minds every day. Go right, go left, do this, do that. And if you're a business owner, you know, there's got so much stuff on the internet, people saying, do it this way. No, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way. No, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way. You know, and so you have to be very, very careful if you are undernourished mentally. So you got to make sure that you take and nourish yourself mentally, because you're going to get stimulated, all of this information, whether you use the information or don't use the information. One's mind, back to Dr. Gregory's statement, one's mind will reflect whatever it is exposed to. Whatever goes in will come out in one's thought process and or behavior one way or another. So, you know, again, your mind is shaped, and that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have people that talk about television and movies and what do you watch. I don't say don't watch no television at all. I say just be selective of what you watch so that you can stay informed. You want to stay informed, very much stay informed. It's like right now in my hometown of Baltimore, where they started a thing this weekend. They want 72 hours where nobody gets shot or killed. And there's been people all over the city giving people hugs and stand on corners with signs, you know, put down the guns, let's talk to one another. And I pray that that continues throughout the rest of the year, because it doesn't make no sense that in a city, almost every 18 hours, somebody is shot. That's a violent environment. Just think about every 18 hours, somebody in Baltimore City is shot. So they're trying to go a whole weekend, 72 hours, nobody getting shot. And that's because people out in the street and, you know, just trying to make a presence, whatever. So that's important. Again, as I said, you know, the, your environment and how things affect you. So Dr. Gregory says, choose wisely what you expose your mind to. Feed your mind that which is healthy and nourishing. And here's the key right here. Spend regular time attending to your mind through meditation, prayer, and reflective thought. The average person uses only around 10% of his or her thought capacity and stays predominantly on the surface of the mind. Be still. Go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper into your mind. Deeper into your mind. And that leads me to, I want to read from a book that I've been going over on Wednesdays, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And Dennis Kimbrough talks about you are a mental being. And the ancient Egyptians understood this. We also understood that we are spiritual beings. Think for a moment. Thoughts and ideas, and I'm reading from the first chapter of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Thoughts and ideas are actually living things, tangible results, and have a powerful long-term effect on your life. Thinking is your greatest gift and the most vital aspect of your being. The car you drive, the house in which you live, the chair upon which you rest were first ideas in mind. Everything you see began as an idea and in mind. Your physical world is nothing more than the lingering evidence of that which has already taken place in your mind. It is merely an extension of or outpicturing of your thoughts. Yours is a mental world. You are a mind with a body. That bit of wisdom comes from insurance magnate and philanthropist W. Clement Stone. And because you are mind, you possess mystical powers. See, this is what the ancient Egyptians understood a long time ago. How they built them pyramids and everything else, power of the mind. And so a lot of stuff they did seems mystical. That's why their school system was called the Egyptian mystery system, because it was a mystery to other people. How did they do all that they did? Both you possess mystical powers, both known and unknown. See, there's things that we know and we do, and there's things that we don't know or understand that we do, because, again, the mystical powers that we have, some of them are known and some of them are unknown. There's a whole, if people are only using 10% of their mind, there's a whole 90% of some mystical stuff that you can do. So that's why, you know, it never fazed me when people say, well, they don't believe that people know how to levitate and do other things. How do you know? Well, how much of your brain are you using? You know, how much of your brain are you actually using? This extraordinary power, mystical as it has been rightfully called, is both real and practical. It is wise to approach this concept in a spirit of awe. What is the most profound subject of this book? Mental power is really no less than that which lies at the center of your being. And to discover this force is your birthright. He said, this is Dennis Kimbrough writing here now. He says, to discover your mental power. And that's why Dr. Gregory says in his statement that choose wisely what you expose your mind to. Feed your mind that which is healthy and nourishing. Spend regular time attending to your mind. How do you spend time attending to your mind? Through meditation, prayer, and reflective thought. Meditation, prayer, and reflective thought. That's how you spend time attending to your mind. The Buddhist monks, they have days where they meditate 10, 12, 14 hours out of the day, sitting still, meditate. And it helps them tap into a mental realm that takes them, you know, way beyond what most of us can conceive of here in Western society. So again, and as Kimbrough was saying, at the center of your being, your mental power, it's your responsibility to discover this force because it's your birthright. It's your birthright. See, it was like given to you as standard equipment. You know, it's like a car with standard equipment, your mind. It is your right and privilege to make use of it. Allow this power to work for you. Dennis Kimbrough says, allow this mental power to work for you, not against you. But where is this resource? Where may we find it? In your own consciousness, your ability to control your own thoughts. And it takes us right back to ancient Kemet. That was the first lesson that the students had to learn when they went into the priesthood, how to control their thoughts. How to control their thoughts. He said, what's all this got to do with being a business owner? You as a business owner, you need to know how to control your thoughts so you know how to close a deal, how to offer a deal, how to work with the people around you, because I'm going to get into something here in a second once I get through this part about these your mental beings. You know, it says, your ability to control your own thoughts. The power of thought may be likened to a rich garden. The soul may be converted by organized effort in the creator's beneficence into a necessary food source. So you got to look at how to organize your effort and then take the blessings that God, the creator, however you operationalize God in your life, into a necessary food source. Or by neglect, it may be allowed to produce useless weeds. The mind is eternally at work, building up, tearing down, bringing misery, unhappiness and poverty, or joy, pleasure, and riches. The mind is never idle. See, this is the most important thing to understand. Our minds are never idle. You know, I keep a notepad on my bed because sometimes I wake up 2-3 o'clock in the morning and I have an idea hit me. Just like this week, it's just grant writing week for me. I have to write a major grant for a program that we're going to do with our nonprofit. And so I got a lot of work to deal with that in terms of doing that. But all of the ideas I got written down in a notepad, and now it's time to go and construct it. Because, see, when things are built, they're built three times. First, they're built in your mind, then they're built on paper, and then you bring them into existence. So it says the mind is eternally at work. The mind is never idle. It is the greatest of all human assets, yet it's the least used and most abused. Science has revealed many of nature's most astounding secrets, but it's overlooked the source of man's wealth, the power of his own thoughts. See, that is the real source of wealth. You have an idea, you carry it out, and people will pay for your ideas. I do it every day. That's how I earn income, is I'm an idea producer. Lying within your mind is a source of energy stronger and more potent than any explosive, unlimited, and inexhaustible. You only need to make conscious contact with this to set it working in your affairs. When you do, you will be marveled at the following changes. Mental and physical well-being. Success in your chosen field of endeavor. A sense of personal fulfillment. See, this is important. This is very, very important that when we understand this and we actually begin to get our mind to work for us and not against us, then, you know, you'll have mental and physical well-being because you'll be healthier. You know, it's like I've been eating a lot different than I normally would eat over the last several weeks. I normally like eating fried chicken. I fried me some chicken. Then my mind started going on thinking about the chicken and everything else, and then I didn't like the way it tasted. Ultimately, didn't eat all of it. And I've been eating tuna fish lately and squash them out of my garden, squash with onions, garlic, and jalapeno peppers that I also grew out of my garden. The only thing I had to buy at the store was the butter, the onion, because I do have some green onions, but a regular onion, and the garlic. And I eat that squash, and, I mean, you're talking about something that tastes good, sautéed in some butter. Ooh, my goodness. I mean, you'd have thought I was eating a steak or something, you know, for those that like to eat steaks and talk about how a steak tastes to them. You know, I love the way squash, the yellow squash, and the zucchini, sautéed in butter with onions, jalapeno peppers, and garlic, and a little bit of Tony season on it. And, man, you're talking about a good, good meal. That is something good, you know. And then when I want to eat something else, I've been eating solid white tuna with some onions, relish, some mayo in it, and whole wheat bread. And that's been, you know, really helping me a lot because it changes, helps me with my thought process because I'm eating different. My mental, and so that's my physical well-being. Get plenty of rest. Definitely make sure I get 6 to 8 hours of sleep at night. So even though sometimes I sleep sporadically, I'll go to bed at 9 or 10, and I might wake back up at 2, and I'm woke from 2 to maybe about 3, then I go back to sleep at 3, and I wake back up at 6. So I still get in my hours, but it's not a straight-through sleep. And so Dennis Kimbrough goes on to say, this is the key. The hidden cause of all things is the primordial mind that lies behind creation, and it delivers our wishes to each of us according to our thoughts. We are all guided by our own mind. You know, and in almost all religious outlooks, they said, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And then the Word became flesh. A lot of people, you know, they interpret that the way they want in terms of the Christianity, Islam, and other aspects. But basically saying, in the beginning, God gave the Word. All God had to do was say, it be, and it be. And so man was created, woman was created, the Word was given, and the Word became flesh. And flesh became, as it says in some books and also talks about in other books, and flesh became a living soul. God blew into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And once we became a living soul, he gave us dominion over the earth to name things, to decide how we wanted to dwell in this domain. So that's the primordial mind, which lies behind creation, and it delivers our wishes to each of us according to our thoughts. We are all guided by our own mind. You must dare to investigate all the mental laws lying outside the realm of known physical processes, laws that have undoubtedly had and will continue to have an impact on your life. But beware, the very principles that render success is a two-edged sword. For the same principle that can lead a man or woman to a life of achievement, wealth, happiness, and desires of his heart can also lead to a life of destitution and failure. It all in how each of us use it, for good or for bad. But basically, again, it's saying make sure you're using your mind for good. Okay, I'm going to go into some of the mental laws here in a minute. But before I go into the mental laws, I want to go into a thing that everybody needs to understand in your life. There are three types of people in your life. First is your shareholders. Who are your shareholders? Your shareholders are those people that you do something for them, they do something for you. You know, sort of like reciprocity, y'all helping each other. They're shareholders. Okay, then you have your stakeholders. The difference between a stakeholder and a shareholder is your stakeholder supports you irregardless, that unconditional love. In this case, you know, we're talking about usually close family members or maybe a friend. You might have some friends that, you know, you made a bond with them at a certain point in life, and then no matter what, you know, y'all are always connected, and they've always supported. and supportive of you. That's a stakeholder. The last group are people you have to be real careful with. They are placeholders. Placeholder. What is the placeholder? The placeholder is usually somebody that's you don't know where they fit in your life, and you know, but they're around it, sort of like a tag along, you know, and they ain't made no commitment to anything that you're doing. You made a commitment to continue to stay in communication with them, and then you know you go through things at times. Why did they do this? Why did they do that? Well, they're not a stakeholder. They're not your mama. Your mama should be, if you have a good relationship with your mother, your mother should be a stakeholder in your life. Your father should be a stakeholder in your life, you know, not a shareholder. You know, your sisters and your brothers, you would hope that they would be stakeholders also, but sometimes they move from stakeholders to shareholders, and sometimes some of them move to placeholders where you're not able to do anything with them. They just don't fit in, but you still care about them. But you understand that they're a placeholder. And you don't need, see, placeholders are people that bring you down. So you need to make sure you know who the placeholders are in your life and don't have enough of them. They bring you down because your stakeholders, they're going to be there to support you irregardless. And that group that you need to build with is your shareholders because they can contribute so much to your life and you can contribute so much to their life. So you want to definitely make sure that we are dealing with those shareholders to help our business grow, to help our circle of influence grow. Because as a business owner, the reason you want this whole, as Dr. Henry Gregory says, this whole mind training 101 is that you know you got to properly discipline your mind so that it does not drag you into all sorts of unhealthy, unpleasant, and unsafe circumstances. It's just like people that you know you need to distance yourself from because you know that they can drag you into unhealthy, unpleasant, and unsafe circumstances. I remember growing up and having a certain group of friends who liked to steal a lot from stores. So it got to the point that I wouldn't go in a store with them because I didn't want to be associated because if they got caught stealing because I'm with them, I'm guilty by association. And so people drag you into unhealthy things, you know, and you want to make sure that you stay away from those kind of situations. So it's important to understand this whole thing about shareholders, stakeholders, and placeholders. Try not to have a lot of placeholders in your life. You're going to have some. But try not to have a lot because they will drag you down. Okay, next is mental laws. What are mental laws? There are a few great laws that govern all thinking. Just as there are fundamental laws that rule the physical universe, for example, young Isaac Newton, the 17th century English mathematician and philosopher, saw an apple fall from a tree and switched on the power of his imagination. Why didn't the apple fall off it? He thought. Newton spent his life unfolding the keys to the physical universe. Through his insights, mankind is able to understand the physical law of gravity and physics. Mental laws, on the other hand, are just as physical laws. These spiritual principles exist on a grand cosmic scale and rule over our mental well-being. All that is good, all that is bountiful and worthwhile emanates from the successful application of mental laws. They are the very infrastructure of life. See, mental laws is what governs us. I mean, it's just like, I'm not even going to digress into politics in terms of the last presidential election and what was put out there and why we ended up with the results that we got. But basically, the person, they understood the application of certain mental laws. And they understand that those are the grand cosmic scale that rule over our mental being. And when you understand that, you can get people to do things, good or bad. The most significant quality of mental law is that it can neither be created nor altered. As one is blind blind to physical laws, mental laws are also undetectable to the eye. We witness only their results, being proof of their inevitable existence. Not once, neither in grade school nor college, were we ever instructed in simple techniques of learning how to apply mental laws. I don't remember getting no courses in that. I remember when I got to college, I did some studying on my own, studying ancient Egypt, and I said again the book Stolen Legacy. And when I gave that book to a professor of mine, you know, I mean, he came back crying. He said, you know, everything he had learned was false. He was a philosophy instructor, had a PhD in philosophy. And he had never read Stolen Legacy. And it changed his outlook because he was exposed to something thought somebody else had put together. So it's important that we learn these techniques and how to apply the laws. The laws that have the power to overcome adversity, eliminate self-defeating habits, and increase our self-confidence. There are an infinite number of mental laws, but unfortunately we don't need a detailed understanding of every principle of the universe to achieve even the most grandiose of our goals. However, there are several key rules with which we must be totally familiar and use unfailingly as guides in all of our dealings. They are, number one, what you think upon grows. This is the great idea that you will encounter again and again in your quest for personal fulfillment. You are a living magnet, constantly drawing to you the things, people, and circumstances that are in accord with your thoughts. In other words, you are where you are and experiencing relationships, even in financial conditions, because of what you are in thought. See, so we are where we are in life because of our thoughts. So while it's again important as a business person, you need to make sure that you learn how to control this mind, do this mind training 101 process that Dr. Henry Gregory talks about. Because, you know, it says right here, Dennis Kimbrough. In other words, you are where you are in experience and relationships and even financial conditions because of what you are in thought. Your thought about whether you're worthy or not worthy. You know what I mean? I listened to a speech the other day, you know, of all people, you know, I believe it was Reverend Ike. He said, you know, we tell ourselves and stuff, oh, God, I'm not worthy of such and such. You are worthy of goodness. See? And so, but if you believe you're not worthy, then because of your thought, you will have hardships. Consequently, what you think about grows. William James, the Harvard psychologist and someone who knew a great deal about achievement, said, you are what you think about most of the time. Whatever you persistently allow to occupy your thoughts will magnify in your life. Whatever the subject of your thoughts, be good or bad, positive or negative, this law remains true. The more you think about an affliction, disease, headache, or poor health, the worse it will become. Think of yourself as healthy and well, the more exuberant and vibrant your body will be. The same is true concerning your finances. The more you think about lack, bad times, or scarcity, the more these circumstances will become manifested in your life. Conversely, by focusing on prosperity, abundance, and success, you will enable these riches to appear in your life. Good fortune nurtures good fortune. Learn to concentrate your thoughts on your definite major purpose. It is the starting point of all achievement. So we got to make sure that we're taking and we're concentrating and putting our thoughts into what's going to help us become successful. Concentrate on our major definite purpose. That's the starting point of all achievement. What is your major definite purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? If it's to help others, which has got to be ultimately either you got to be helping people. See, the ultimate thing in business and sales is finding out what someone's pain is and then giving them a solution to their pain. like being a doctor, giving them a solution to what's bugging them. That's how you get a client to do business with you. You give them a solution to a pain that they're going through, and they want to relieve that pain, so they do business with you. And in turn, they give you some money. And I don't like to say make money, so that means you earn money by solving people's pain. Helping them resolve pain issues is what's going to make you money and what's going to help you earn money in the 21st century. Next, you want to understand the law of cause and effect. It is outstanding and shocking to see the many thousands of people whose mental machinery keeps delivering to them the very effects they say they do not want. They bewail the idea that they are poor, but that doesn't make them richer. They complain about their aches and pains, but sickness lingers. They say that nobody likes them, which really means they care for no one. They aren't bold. They aren't aggressive. They aren't ambitious. They are the sum total of their thoughts and actions. Cause and effect is a mental law that never fails. Day by day, you write your own destiny. Thoughts are causes and conditions in your life are effects. If you ever wanted to know the status of your thoughts, you only need to look at your conditions. One of the greatest messages ever given to humankind is written in the scriptures. So what man soweth, that shall he also reap. Translated, it means whatever you send out in word, thought, or deed will sooner or later return to you with astounding accuracy. In practical terms, if you crave friendship, be a friend. If you want love, give love. If you want the confidence of others, show confidence in others and first and develop your own self-confidence as well. Next is the law of use or lose. This law is apparently throughout all of life. Simply stated, practice makes perfect. This familiar proverb embodies one of the most important principles of human nature. To become proficient in any field, you must practice. There's simply no achievement without practice. Practice, 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 and even more practice. An Olympic athlete will train for years just to be able to experience the thrill of winning a moment. Where torso musicians practice endlessly just to keep their skills at peak performance. The scientist who wins the Nobel Prize has experimented and refined his theories over a course of a career. So use or lose. So if you have people that are connected with you and supposed to be working with you, then they need to show up to grow up. You know, they got to show up to grow up. You know, they cannot expect to get things without showing up. See, you get what you show up for. If you don't show up, then you get nothing. To achieve a standard of excellence, to accomplish anything extraordinary, means aiming high. It means being disciplined and willing to devote long hours to the task at hand. Intelligent practice is the price of proficiency. Success is often a statistical event. Prosperity is a spiritual idea of excellence. Let me repeat that. Prosperity is a spiritual idea of excellence. And like any form of excellence or superiority, it requires time and love and care. It is the secret of attainment. So in other words, you got to put the time in. You got to love what you're doing. And if not, you know, you're not going to be able to manifest what you want. Consider the following analogy. Someone were to place your leg in a cast for several months. By the time the cast was removed, your leg would shrink or atrophy as compared to your other limb. Only months of regular exercise will restore the limb to normalcy. As you grow older and your life becomes more sedentary, you cease to use certain muscles. In due time, a long, firm body can become soft and weak. Only regular and systematic use will prevent its deterioration. Like physical effort, thought control is entirely a matter of intelligent practice. You must use your courage or it will desert you. You must use your determination or it will leave you. You must use your power of decision, or soon you will find that you have none. Very, very important. Repeat that again. Like physical effort, thought control is entirely a matter of intelligent practice. You must use your courage or it will desert you. You must use your determination or it will leave you. You must use your power of decision, or soon you will not have one. Okay, the next is the law of correspondence. Your thoughts are the prophets of the future. They can predict what to expect before it happens. Why? Because you are basically a thinker, a feeler, a dreamer. What you think, feel, and dream flows inward, then outward. The basic law is first within, then without. That's why you must do a vision board. You should have a vision board. My wife has one, and she carries it around with her in a notebook. Most people, they have vision boards that they put on their walls. Bottom line is you need to have a vision board because it's first within and then without. Could any genius ever achieve anything? Could any inventor create anything? Could anyone who accomplished anything worthwhile obtain it without first having thought about it deeply, felt it, been totally immune it, and totally embedded into it, immersed in it? Every great victory demonstrates this process. Everything that happens to you in your external world happens because of what is occurring in your internal world. So, again, as Dr. Henry Gregory says, Tony Hughes, he says, spend regular time attending to your mind through meditation, prayer, and reflective thought. This average person uses only 10% of his or her thought capacity and stays permanently on the surface of the mind. Be still. Go deeper. That's what this is talking about right here when it says go deeper. Go first having deeply thought about it, felt it, been totally embedded with it, immersed in it. Every great victory demonstrates this process. Everything that happens to you in your external world happens because of what's occurring in your internal world. So your internal world has to be very solid. You cannot be schizophrenic. When I say schizophrenic, I'm talking about you can't have a thought over here, a thought over there. You got to be definite. And focus, laser focus, laser focus. There is a deeper significance in the statement made by psychologist William James. You do not sing because you are happy. You are happy because you sing, to a large extent, by the way one acts. It is an indication that we, as individuals, are not powerless to circumstances and can improve our lives. This is called the law of correspondence. Your external world is nothing more than a mirror or reflection of your internal world. And that's where that vision board comes in. Some readers will experience difficulty with this idea if it seems impractical. Examine your present situation. From an objective point of view, first decide what changes you wish to make in your life. Now develop a habitual mental attitude that will correspond to the new circumstances which you wish to experience. It should become apparent that before any area of your life can improve, your mental attitude towards it must change first. This principle of attitude control is discussed and developed in a later chapter. The law of correspondence makes it possible for you to change undesirable conditions and enables you to become the person you truly want to be. It requires nothing more than the ability to control you so that you correspond to the desired conditions, objectives that you have set for yourself. It is success that you seek. You must first develop a success consciousness. Okay. Got a couple more of these to go through here. Okay, we got the law of substitution. The law of substitution. The only way to get rid of yourself, only way to rid yourself of any negative thought is to substitute another one for it. You cannot dismiss a thought directly. You can do so only by substituting another thought for it. Why? Because your conscious mind can hold only one thought at a time. If you were to say, if I were to say to you, dismiss any thought of lack or limitation, your mind would immediately center on that idea. When negative thoughts creep into your subconscious, immediately begin to replace them with those that are more positive. Though you may not be able to control all circumstances the surface in your life, you are able, however, to control your response to those circumstances. You will find a direct relationship between your level of control and your ability to effectively use the law of substitution. Okay, next is the law of belief. How many times have you heard it said, just believe you can do it, and you can. Whatever the task, if it is undertaken in an air of positive expectancy, it can be done. This law states that anything you believe with feeling will become real in your life, whether it be a positive belief such as a goal or a specific desire, or a negative belief such as a self-limiting idea. The key to this law lies within the words with feeling. Many times beliefs enable a person to accomplish what others considered impossible. The act of believing is the force of generating power that leads to realization. Come on, fellas, we can beat them, shouts someone in command. Then the voicing of belief, challenging and electrifying, reverses the tide and rescues victory from the jaws of defeat, and all because some mighty believer knew that it could be done. Belief is the key to the basic mind power that turns dreams into realities, the mental into the physical. The key to your riches and transformation for the better is a deeply ingrained belief. Okay, we got two more to do here, and then we're going to wrap the show up for the day. Next is the law of attraction. Now, this is very, very important. It's all of them important. Human nature assumes that opposites attract. Perhaps in scientific realm they do, but not so with people. Actually, people are attracted to others like themselves. Individuals are drawn together because they recognize and appreciate certain common qualities in each other. Those who criticize, find fault, and continually accentuate the negative attract similar people into their world. Excuse me. On the other hand, positive, life-affirming individuals attract like-minded people to their orbit. So, in effect, you create your own world through your thoughts about life in general and about yourself in particular. Those who are clear in their thinking and affirmative in their minds find self-fulfillment. They attract positive and constructive people like themselves and prosper. The mental force that controls the universe has been called many things, God, Jehovah, Muhammad, but the important thing is to know that it exists. See, to know that the mental force exists, no matter what it's called, we know that we did not create ourselves, that there's a force in this universe that created us. The law of attraction has been linked to an enormous electronic magnetic field within a great universal sphere attracting others of the same sort. For example, a highly magnetized piece of steel will attract and lift a piece of steel 10 times its own weight. The same law within the world of human nature, the laws of attraction and repulsion operate electromagnetically. Out of this truth has grown the sayings, success attracts more success while failure attracts more failure. A positive or negative-minded individual will attract a person of the same attitude or outlook. Like always, attract light. It's important that you become magnetized with ambition. Okay, we're down to the last mental law, the law of compensation. The law of compensation can work for you or against you depending on the manner in which you got it. It may take many years for punishment to follow transgressions or for reward to follow virtue, but compensation always seeks its source. The ancient Sanskrit text says, whatever you give to others, give with love and reverence. Gift must be given in abundance with joy, humility, and compassion. The Bible puts it this way, as you give, so shall you receive. Examine your attitudes towards giving. Never seek a trade-off that subtly and sly thief that lies ready to rob you of your purity, your joy, or your giving. Be a joyful giver. Give help. Give energy. Give time. Give funds. Share ideas. Offer counsel to your friends if they desire it. But give freely with joy and have no thought of return. If you give seeking or expecting a return, you are not giving but investing. You are not releasing but lending. Your real reward must come from the infinite source of compensation. Channels by which you reach your goals are clear and straightforward. When your thoughts are clearly and confidently centered on a desired result, all that is good and right will be drawn into you by your own thinking. This is the ominous idea that you will undoubtedly encounter as you strive for all that life offers. You are a living magnet, constantly attracting the things, people, and circumstances that are in accordance with your thoughts. You are where you are in experience and relationships and even financial conditions because of what you are in thought. I believe you have been drawn to this book. This is Dennis Kimbrough again talking here. This powerful law. It could just be that Think and Grow Rich or Black Choice is an idea whose time has come in your life. And so it's important, again, as he's talking about understanding the mental laws. He didn't go into all of them that he said he wanted to go into, but he gave us enough to understand, apply these mental laws to us being a mental being, you know, a mental and spiritual being, a spiritual being that's governed by mental thoughts and processes. How we pray, what we eat, what we do, who we associate with, who we don't associate with, some stakeholders, shareholders, and placeholders. Remember, you don't want to have a lot of placeholders in your life. You know, you don't want to, if for some reason you're attracting people that are not doing the things that they supposed to do or said they was going to do, you got to know when to cut them loose. Because other than that, you're attracting negativity. You're attracting something that's going to bring you down. You want to attract people that you can work with, run with, grow with, laugh with, have joy with, experience some pain with, but more joy than pain. More joy than pain. So all of this has a lot to do with controlling our mind. Because when we control our minds, they said in ancient Egypt, then you can control your actions. And Dennis Kimbrough just gave us with these mental laws, we can see how to control your actions, how you can manifest what you want to happen for you in your business world. So, hey, this has been Baba Jahi here this Sunday. Well, thank you for tuning in to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you tune back in tomorrow. We have the Passionate Travel Radio Show with Miss Victoria Fault. Then Wednesday, I will be back on with Hump Day book reading program, and we'll be reading from, I read some of what I'm going to be covering Wednesday, which was the mental laws, because that's what I left off at last Wednesday. And so I'll be going back over those, and then the rest of this chapter of Inner Space, The Final Frontier. Tune in for that. And then on Fridays at noon, we got the Jasari's Love Show with my wife, Cynthia Jahi, and she shares with you topics around peace, caring, giving, and spiritual laws of the universe about making sure that we care for other people and we treat people right. So again, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101. We thank you so much for tuning in. We had over 100,000 listeners have tuned into a show here on Home Based Business 101 in terms of Blog Talk Radio. Home Based Business 101 was put together November 2007, and was put together to be a part of the outreach for Movements Unlimited nonprofit organization. You can go to Movements Unlimited website at www.movementsunlimited, two words combined together, movements, that's M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T-S, Movements Unlimited, UNLIMITED.net. That's Movements Unlimited, www.movementsunlimited.net. You can find out more about our nonprofit and our organization. We will be having a special program that we will be putting more information about on the website, and we will I'll update the website this week. Also, we'll be putting more information about the shows here. You can go to also our Facebook page for Home Based Business 101 Radio Show. And that's on Facebook. It's Home Based Business 101. You can go to that page, like that page, and usually we post all of the shows that we have done here on Home Based Business 101. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com. Some of you are already listening online. Some of you have dialed in listening. Go to blogtalkradio.com/homebasedbusiness101. And if you do that, leave us a comment. Let us know how you are enjoying the information that each of us in terms of the show host is sharing with people. And, you know, again, we just really thank you for being great listening audience. And if you would like to be a guest on any of the shows, you can contact that show host. If you need to reach me as far as being a guest on the Sunday morning show, or if you'd like to set a time other than Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, or Friday to do a special show, you can give me a call at 252-458-3712. That's 252-458-3712. If you'd like to be a guest on Miss Victoria Falk show, you can call Miss Falk at 347-658-8459. That's 347-658-8459. If you'd like to be a guest on Mama Cynthia Jahi's show, you can call her at 252-406-0774. And again, if you call any of us, just let us know what type of show you want to do. If you want to do a show, you know, on your own, or if you wanted to be a guest on one of our shows, then we would know what it is that you would like to share on our show, and we will let you know whether that's possible or not. So until next time, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for tuning in this Sunday morning, and it looks like we did do a whole hour this Sunday morning, so I'm really glad to have our content to put out there. And just really thank the listening audience for tuning in. God bless you. Until next time, peace.